sporočilo. Islandija, dežela ostrih, dolgih zim, je od 90-ih let minulega stoletja veljala kot zgledna, gospodarsko uspešna država, skrbeča za blaginjo svojih državljanov. Kmalo po sesutju hipotekarnega nepremičninskega balona in zlom bank v ZDA leta 2008 je počilo tudi v Islandiji. Bančni dolgovi so udarili po ljudeh, ki so se samo spraševali, zakaj so nenadoma brez službe, zakaj jih mečejo iz stanovanj. Takrat je prekipelo 63-letnemu umetniku, dolgoletnemu borcu za pravice istospolno usmerjenih, Hjordorju Torvasonu. Pred parlamentom je pozval sodržavljane, naj zahtevajo odgovore odgovornih. Mirni protesti z lonci so se sprevrgli v spopade s policijo. Po letu dni in pol so ljudje prisilili vlado k odstopu in predčasnim volitvam. Sodelovali so tudi pri pisanju nove ustave za pravičnejšo družbo. Kako je islandskemu poetu, filmskemu, gledališkemu in glasbenemu ustvarjalcu uspelo k delovanju pritegniti apolitične množice in zagnati državljansko gibanje za spremembe?
I go back as an activist until 70s. To put it very short, I graduated as a professional actor from the National Theatre of Iceland in the spring of 1970. And I became a very famous person with songs and acting. And I was on television, I was on radio, I was doing concerts, I was doing music on LPs, CDs of that time. I was a photo model. I was everything a young man could dream of. But my society did not allow me to be who I am, meaning I'm gay. And in those days, it was not allowed. And that created a big problem for me as a person, because I knew of people being thrown out of public places, harassed on the streets, even in their homes. I knew of people who were thrown out of their families just simply because they were found out to be gay, and I knew of people committing suicide because they were gay. I had serious problems with myself because I was allowed to be doing all my work, but I was not allowed to say I am gay, because the money people who I had contract with, they told me that I would lose everything and end my career. But in 75, as the first man in my country, I stepped forward and said, I am gay, because I refused to be run by stupidity. If I cannot be myself, who am I then? That created, and from then on, I had debated in acting school the role of the artist within society. And my conclusion was that artists should work with the public, with people, and fight the abuse of power. And this is what I've been doing ever since. I had to go into exile from my country. Overnight, I lost everything. And I survived a murder attempt. I almost committed suicide myself. And there I learned that if I would commit suicide, I would really lose everything. I would accept that stupidity runs rules. So this is what I've been doing all my life. I've been, like I say, I've been lending my voice to individuals or organizations or just people if I can help them and I believe in their cause, I do it. So through my experience, I've learned a lot of how to deal with people, to be an activist. And I always work in the spirit of the society I want to belong to. I want reasons, and I want more equality to people. So in, when the crash came, 2008, the first thing, my reaction was, the funny thing is, I was just finishing my biography with a writer, and I didn't have time to do anything for the first 5 days. But then I finished the biography, my work there. And what I did, I just simply announced on my homepage, with a few thousand people following my concerts and what I'm doing as an artist. And I just simply announced to them, I am going to place myself in front of the Parliament building at 12 o'clock, that's lunchtime. And I did, and I asked people two questions. Can you tell me what has happened in our country? And do you have any idea of what we can do about it? Now, what I learned from the very first minute was there were not many people in the beginning, but what I gathered was the anger, how scared people were, how confused, and nobody seemed to be understanding what was happening. And the government told us just to go on with our lives, not to worry about anything. They would take care of things. And I asked myself, how can they take care of things since they brought us into this situation? And since the government and did not inform us, and I thought, well, the only thing we can do is to create a bigger venue, like an outdoor protest meeting. So I arranged everything. I hired a car. I hired, sound system. I got permission from the city authorities. I talked to the police, and arranged a meeting. And I got. I looked for people, like I always do. I looked for other people to help me. I found young people who were good with dealing with the internet. I asked them to spread the word on the internet. And there were thousands of people who came, met up. I called some of my friends, intellectuals and artists, to find good speakers to clarify what is going on. And this is what happened. And because I realized the anger of the people, that was the thing to deal with. So I said to people in the first meeting, we are all angry, but we are all in this together. So let's deal with it. Let's find out what is happening. And I always asked the crowd, do you agree? And thousands said yes. So I said, do you want another meeting a week from now? Same time, same place? They said yes. And I said, do you want it? Please do it peacefully. They said, yes. So I said, let's do it. And this is how it started. But at the same time, after the very first meeting, since we were going to continue, I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks or whatever, I want to know what could bring us together, because it's obvious in every society you have people on the left wing, or the right wing, or the middle, people with different ideology and views on life, politically as well. So I went around asking people, what is it we want? And in 3 weeks' time, I managed to put forward three claims that I put forward on the third or fourth meeting. I don't know, I don't remember exactly, but these were three claims. We wanted the government to resign. We wanted the board of the National Bank to resign. And we wanted the board of the Money Supervisory Authority to resign. This became the glue of the meetings. Every Saturday, 3 o'clock, these three demands were met up, were read up in front of thousands of people, and they were asked, do you agree on this? And they all said yes. Then I started writing the politicians, the ministers, letters, asking for meetings to make sure that they knew what was going on. And I told people on meetings, and I created a kind of a pressure on them. So they accepted us. I never went alone. I took witnesses with me. I wrote them letters, and I read them aloud on the meeting, and I went to the ministers. I read them aloud, these demands and our claims. So they were sure. They could never say they didn't know what was going on. All three demands were met 100%. And then I stepped back. The day, the key word, the result of the Qatari revolution is awareness. We got political parties, few out of it. And it takes time to create them. It's a lot of debate. It's a continuous debate. And many people are claiming that nothing happened, nothing came out of the Qatari revolution, because the old power people who created we call the responsible people for the crash, they are back to power. But wait a second there. Why did they come back to power? We have to analyze this. One thing is, one of the big claims of the Qatari revolution is we wanted a new constitution. The constitution of Iceland was written 1873 by the Danish king, and as we say, by a sleepy public servant. It was ratified in 1944 with a promise of being rewritten. There are 69 years ago, and that it hasn't been. It has been adjusted in some ways, but mainly adjusted to the need of two political parties, or even four. And this is what we want to change. We want a new constitution. Now, in 2009, we got a new government, the first leftist, so-called leftist government in Iceland, and the Prime Minister, Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, she responded to what we were saying. I had a meeting with her. I clarified with her, as well as the other minister before her, what it was we wanted. We want a new constitution, because that is the key to all major changes. There was a huge meeting. There were 1,000 people from all over, randomly chosen, invited to a meeting in the capital for one day to bring a view on what do we want in a new constitution. So the result of the big meeting was very clear. It was published in book. It was giving the result. The result of that meeting was giving to the 25 people who were elected to write a new constitution, and everybody in the society could participate. There were over 500 people who stepped forward and want to participate in writing a new constitution. 25 people out of these 500 were elected to do so. They were handed over the results of the big meeting, and they had an office, and they were given 4 months to write a new constitution. You could reach them through Skype, you could phone them, you could write them emails, you could write them a letter, you could visit them. They were open to everyone. Everybody could participate, come with their ideas or views or whatever. 25 people from different political parties, with different views on society, they worked very hard for 4 months, and they gave us new constitution. Then, that was 2011, then we sensed that somebody stepped on the brakes. This was not going to happen. That was very clear. We were not going to get a new constitution. Why? Ask the people who are back into power now. They don't want it. Why? Because they will lose power. They will lose money.
Herbert Thorvaldsen od leta 2011 obiskuje aktiviste številnih gibanj po vsem svetu. K nam ga je povabila založba Sanje. Thorvaldsenu boste lahko danes prisluhnili na Ljubljanskem kongresu ob 17. uri, jutri zvečer pa v Mariboru. Ov poročilo je pripravil Medard Kršišnik. Poročilo.